to start with a word of introduction about Sefer Shmos, the name that this book has in English or in Latin, Exodus, seems a little bit more descriptive of the content. There is much discussion about the name of the Sefer. The Ramban talks about the nature of the Sefer in its Hakdama, about how Sefer Bereishis is the story of creation and all of its elements. So therefore, that goes up to the story of the Avos, because those are a part of the elements of creation, of what everything is built off of, while Shmos is the story of Galus and Geula. So it starts with mentioning the Yordei Mitzrayim, that is the beginning of the Galus, and goes up until the Geula is complete. And therefore it has to include the construction of the Mishkan all the way up to Vayakel Pekudei, because that's necessary in order to create the picture of the Geula. And the Netziv comments that the Sefer is called Sefer Sheni in some references, and that seems to be a particularly uncreative title, and he explains that it's a necessary continuation from Sefer Bereishis, because Bereishis is the story of creation, but we have to understand that creation is for the purpose of something, Shvil Yisrael, Shenikra Bereishis, and therefore the story of creation is only complete once we include within it the story of the Jewish people and their origin and their receiving the Torah and their becoming a complete nation. And therefore, it's only together with Sefer Shmos that we have a complete story of creation, and therefore the seemingly nondescriptive name of Sefer Sheni actually tells us quite a bit. But the truth is, Sefer Shmos, names, is also significant. And the idea of Ye'ele Shmos, when the Pasuk begins by listing off the names of the Shvatim, Rashi tells us that this is to show chibasam, to show the love that God has for the Jewish people, that even though they've been counted before, they're being counted here again just for a display of affection. And this is a topic that the Rashiv of Keren B'Yavne of Goldfich discussed, that when we have counting, we have counting for different purposes. Sometimes counting is to assess the number that's involved, and sometimes it is to show affection and to direct attention. And the difference you can see when the names are involved, so then that shows us that the counting is for affection rather than to assess a number. So the fact that there are names here that are highlighted, that's a display of affection, and therefore the very name of the Sefer is itself showing us something. And the comparison, as Rashi tells us, to stars, that type of counting, as we found in Sefer Bereishis, that Avraham is told to look to the stars themselves have an imagery of individuality, that even though Avraham is told to count the stars, but each star in itself is significant, and it represents its own existence, and it represents developed potential. And if that's the idea, it seems perhaps ironic that the focus on potential is being brought up here in the context of the beginning of the Shibud, of the Golus. And the Sfasemis explains that actually, it shouldn't be seen as ironic, but that's Davka the point. And he understands Golus from the language of Hiskalus, of something which is revealed, and that one only meets his full potential when he is challenged and when he has to rise to the occasion. And indeed, that's what we're going to find, that the Jews are going to meet their full potential. They are going to find their names clarified, go through a state of Birur through the tremendous challenge of the Shibud, and that is how the Sefer is being introduced. The Pasuk also tells us Yishuvei Sovo, and here, as Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch comments, that what's being emphasized here is that the secret is that while they all had their own families, but they were connected to the values of Yaakov, and this is going to be a crucial point to emphasize as we describe their existence here in Mitzrayim. The Torah tells us that a new king came up, Vayakam Melech Hadash, Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef, and the Gemara Maseches Sota and Daf Yud Aleph, Rashi quotes, tells us two understandings: either he was actually a new king, or he made himself as if he was new, and the idea of him not knowing Yosef would then mean that he made himself as if he didn't remember Yosef. And the Bali Musar emphasizes here that the message that's being highlighted is just how destructive an attribute of Kviyas HaTov we find here. the most crucial element that a Jew has to have is the recognition of Hakaras HaTov. That's the first step, the prerequisite for everything else. And if one is a Kofer HaTov, if one denies the good that he has received, then he's capable of all kinds of cruelty and of all kinds of problems. And here we find the beginning of our Shibud identified with that Midah. This king begins a plan to enslave the Jewish people, and we are told, V'yavidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farach. There is a comment in the Sefer Itzach Chaim of Reb Chaim Abulafia that notes that the Rambam in Hilchos Avodim in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav discusses the Isser of Avodas Perech, that we're not permitted, even with an Eved Ivri, to impose work that is backbreaking, that is too difficult. And the definition of that, as the Rambam explains, he gives two standards as to what qualifies as that kind of prohibited labor. One is work that has no set limit, that's just endless. If the boss says, instead of saying, do this job, it says, work until I come back, whenever that is, and the worker has no way of knowing when that's going to be. Or work that doesn't have any purpose to it, that's just busy work, just to occupy the Eved. So the Etz HaChaim notes that here we find that both types of labor are being imposed on the Jewish people. We're told that they build as Pison v'es Ramses, and the Gemara in Sota and Dafir Aleph explains that really it's just Ramses. But why is it called as Pison? Because the city would collapse and have to be rebuilt. It was constantly being done over and over again. So that represents this kind of busy work that the Rambam was talking about, work for no purpose. And this reference that we find, Eskal Avodasam Asher Avdu Behem Befarach, which is preceded with the words of Chol Avoda Basada, that's meant to represent this idea of just endless work that doesn't have any limit or any focus. So that's the other idea that the Rambam is talking about when he refers to the prohibition of this backbreaking labor that the Torah normally prohibits. And we find here also that Paro gives this instruction to the Mialdos to kill all of the male children. And the Aliyah concludes by telling us that they refuse to do that. Vaterena hamialdos esa Elohim, v'lo asu kasher dibur aleihem melech Mitzrayim, v'techayena esa yoladim. And the Medrash has a fascinating comment to explain this, this idea that the Mialdos were able to refuse the instruction of the king of Mitzrayim. And not only that, but they actually sustained the lives of the children. And the Medrash explains that they would go and actively feed the children, and those that came from families that didn't have food, they would bring them food, they would do actions in order to sustain their lives, not only refusing the order to kill them. And the Medrash asks, where did they get this from? They got this from their great-grandfather, from Avram Avinu. They looked back to his Midos, and the Medrash suggests that there is somewhat of a Gzera Shava here, that by Avram Avinu we find that it says, V'ata yadati kirei lokimata, that now we know that you are God-fearing. That's a reference to the Akedah. But what they actually learned from him is that he was hospitable, and if he was able to actually feed people and take care of them, so certainly they shouldn't kill these children. So there are a couple of points that need to be understood there, because first of all, the connection with the language is being wrought from the Akedah, but the specific Midah that they're looking to is Avram's Chesed, the fact that he expressed hospitality to people, and somehow it was that they tapped into. So how do all these ideas come together? And the Rashiv Kamri Avner of Goldvich noted that there is a mixture of midos here that came together in a very special way in Avram Avinu, and that was what they were able to harness in understanding their mission here, that Avram Avinu was the master of chesed, he was the master of ahava, and when the time came for the Akedah, he wasn't told to set that aside, but rather he was told to harness that feeling and to keep that within him and to bring all of that towards the process of the Akedah, to mix that together with Yira. And here, when it came time for the Mialdos to respond to the instruction of Paro, so they responded with fear of God, with Yira, but they understood that that also had to be combined with Ahava, that had had to be combined with taking action on behalf of these children. And where did they learn how to do that? They learned from the actions of Avraham Avinu, who was able to combine the two midos in a spectacular way, to take his Ava and his Yira and to respond as the moment requested, because he had the most perfect expression of these attributes. So too, they realized that they also had to combine these attributes. And just as the dominant sense of the moment was the Yira that told them not to do what Paro was asking them to do, but also to combine that with the Ahava and the Chesed that required them to actively take care of these children, that was how they responded in the moment, taking the lesson from Avraham Avinu, once again keeping the Midos of the Avos even in these challenging moments in Mitzrayim.